شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with شرح السنة of Imam Abu Muhammad Al-Hassan ibn Ali Al-Barbahari رحمه الله، with the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan حفظه الله. Then last time we had point number 7 in the Arabic text, in previous lessons we had an explanation of the correct path of the Sunnah, of the Jama'ah, that is essential a person proceeds upon. And last time, in point number 7, the Imam Al-Barbahari rahimahullah, he brought the point with regard to departing, those who depart from the correct path, that they are of two kinds. There are two kinds of people who depart from the correct path and straight into innovation. The first one being the person who does not intend to go into innovation. His intention is to be upon the truth, but he strays upon the wrong path. He strays into innovation, not deliberately. And that his intention, as Sheikh Fawzan makes clear in his explanation, his intention is a good intention, that he intends what is good. However, he strays from the correct path, he takes the wrong way, he strays into error, into innovation. So Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, this person, his good intention is not sufficient in this matter of aqidah, matter of being upon the sunnah. He strayed from it, taking the wrong path. The fact he has got good intention is not sufficient. He is upon error. And as for a person who knows that he is upon error and still follows him, then that person who does that is destroyed. So Sheikh Fawzan made clear that any new ideas that people come with that take us away from the straight path, then we reject these ideas, no matter, even if the person has a good intention who brings these ideas, the matter of aqeedah, the matter of the sunnah, we reject this. We do not follow the person who is upon that, even if his intention is good. So that's with regard to the first type of person, one who strays from the path, not intending to stray from the path, so he is not followed upon his error. And people don't, it's not to be made the excuse that, well, he's upon a good intention, so we follow him. No, even if his intention is good, we do not follow him upon in leaving the sunnah. Then Sheikh Al-Fawzan, or the author Imam Al-Barbahari, he mentions the second type of person, the person who deliberately opposes the truth. The truth is clear to him, but he chooses something other than the truth, and he leaves the path of truth deliberately opposes it and tries to misguide other people. Then he is a devil. The second category of person, he is a devil, trying to block people from Allah's path and to cause them to divert away from Allah's path. And Sheikh Al-Fawzan quoted the proof for this being the hadith of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he drew, in the authentic hadith, when he drew a line on the ground, a straight line, and said that this is Allah's path. And then he drew lines, diverging lines, to the right and to the left, and he said these are the paths, the divergent paths. At the head of every one of them is a devil. Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned this is the reality. Every other path besides the straight path is a deviant path, has a devil upon it, calling the people away from the straight path. So such a person is misguided. The one who deliberately leaves the truth, takes a different path, is misguided and misguiding others. And whoever knows about him must warn against him. And it is not permissible to remain silent about him. Not permissible to bring and to copy these common sayings that people say. These days, let everyone have their own opinion. He's got his opinion, you've got your opinion. We have to respect people's opinions, and the like of these nonsense statements. Rather, it's obligatory upon those who recognize this condition to warn against this person. One who's deliberately left the truth calls others away from the truth, then it's obligatory upon them that he be refuted. And this is where we see the role of the scholars. The scholars indeed carry out this role of refuting the like of that individual. And that is something the scholars should be praised for and defended for and supported upon. And no one should speak against the scholars or betray them and speak, use that to speak against the scholars. But they should be supported for that, a praiseworthy action of theirs. And with regard to continuation, what occurs on page 116 of the Saudi printed two-volume edition, then there continues the saying of the author, rahimahullah, Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, wa'lam rahimakallah, annahu la yatimmu islamu abdin hatta yakuna muttabi'an musaddiqan musalliman. فمن زعم أنه قد بقي شيء من أمر الإسلام لم يكفناه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقد كذبهم وكفى بهذا فرقة وطعنا عليهم فهو مبتدع ضال مضل محدث في الإسلام ما ليس منه. Saying of Imam al-Barbahari رحمه الله, and know, may Allah have mercy upon you. Amen. And know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that a person's Islam will not be complete until he is one who is muttabi', one who follows, musaddiq, one who attests to, musallim, and one who submits to the book and the sunnah. Meaning, so whoever claims that there remains anything from Islam not sufficiently explained by the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he has lied against them. And this is sufficient for a person as a separation from them and as an attack upon them. So he is an innovator, astray, leading others astray, introducing into Islam that which is not from it. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, has said in explanation, this is a completion of the previous speech. It's a continuation of what we had before. This is a completion of the previous speech. So he's saying, لا يتم إسلام عبد حتى يكون متبعا مصدقاً مسلماً. A person's Islam will not be complete until he is one who is muttabi', musaddiq, muslim, musallim, one who is a follower of the truth of the book and the sunnah, one who attests to it, one who submits to it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, muttabi'an is one who follows, la mubtadi'an, not one who innovates. These two opposite terms here. He should be muttabi', one who follows, not mubtadi', not one who innovates. He should be musaddiq, one who attests to the truth, believes and attests in the truth, not one who has doubts and is uncertain. Musallim, one who submits, meaning one who submits to the book and the sunnah. Because these matters require submission, taslim, and they are not matters where argumentation is acceptable. So we submit to Allah and to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we do not argue about this matter, or we do not give our own opinion, each one giving his own opinion. We do not do that, as they say, each person just give his own opinion. We don't do that, as they say, the Shaykh said, along with the speech of Allah and the speech of His Messenger. There's no room when there's the speech of Allah, the speech of Messenger, no room for anyone else to come in and give their opinion. No room for that, no scope for that. He said, he's saying, moving on, He's saying, فَمَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّهُ قَدْ بَقِيَ شَيْءٌ مِنْ أَمْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ لَمْ يَكْفِنَاهُ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَدْ كَذَّبَهُمْ. So whoever claims that anything remains from the affair of Islam, which the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam have not sufficed us with regard to, they're not sufficiently explained to us, then he has lied against them. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning, whoever claims that the companions fell short in clearly explaining and in clarifying and in conveying it to the people from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and claims that he has scope to speak or to add something, then he intends evil for the people. Look out, if you see this, you know what he's intending, only evil. Person claims companions have not done this, they're not clearly explained, not clarified, not conveyed the matter properly, not conveyed Islam properly from Allah's Messenger from Allah, therefore they claim and say that they have got scope to speak about the matter or to add something. Sheikh said, this person, he intends evil for the people, because the companions radiallahu anhum did not leave anything from that which they heard from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or anything which they saw from him, except that they conveyed it to the nation faithfully, and they made it clear to the nation. And therefore, for this reason, the tafsir, the explanation of the companions, is given precedence over the tafsir of anyone after them. The tafsir of the Quran, explanation of the Quran, explanation of the meaning of an ayah, when it comes from the companions, that's given precedence of the explanation of anyone else besides them, because they were the students of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they heard the Quran from him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they heard the ahadith, they heard his sayings from him, and they heard the explanation of the Quran from him, and they saw his sallallahu alayhi wasallam actions, and they conveyed that bi amana, faithfully. So they did not leave out anything at all. So whoever claims that they fell short and left something out, that they did not convey it, then he is a kadhabun muhtadun. The person who claims that is a liar and an inventor of falsehood. Balun mubil, he is astray, misguided, leading others astray, trying to cause the people to have doubts about the religion of Allah and about its carriers, from the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he is acting treacherously towards the companions, as is the way with the people of innovations. This is what they do. As is the way of the people of innovations. They betray the companions and make false accusations against them. And then Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentions the reason why they do this. In order to remove the intermediary link between us and between Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's what they want to do. So it is obligatory to beware of those people, and that we should know the true worth of the companions and their status. Radiallahu anhu. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so where did this Quran come to us from? The Quran that we have, where did it come to us from? And these ahadith, these sayings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this fiqh, this knowledge of the religion, it did not come except through them, the companions, taking it and carrying it from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The whole of the deen that we have now, the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the knowledge of this religion, all of it, every single bit of it, came from via who? Via companions. Everything in the deen. None of it came except through them taking it and carrying it from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They are the ones who carried it to us. Carried it, passed it on to the next generation, passed it like that, all the way through. And they narrated it to us completely. Each one in accordance with the amount which Allah gifted to him. Each companion. So some companions had many hadith, some had less, some had just a few. Each one in accordance with the amount which Allah gifted him with. And each one in accordance with his own ability. They did not leave anything from the religion of Allah except that they conveyed it, just as they took it from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they are fully trustworthy. They're mawdi' of thiqah. They're someone who we should have full trust in. Full trust. No one should be able to cause us to have doubts about them at all. It should be impossible for someone to cause us to doubt about the Sahaba companions. They are, as the Sheikh said, fully deserving of full trust. And he gives the reason. He said, because Allah chose them to be companions of his Prophet and to take from him and to narrate from him. Allah chose them for that. We should never forget this point. Companions were made companions by who? Who made them companions? Who gave them that role? Who gave them that duty? Allah is the one who gave them that. And then people come along and accuse them of falling short, or accuse them of having deficiency. No one says this except Dhalun Mubil. This is something we should be fully aware of. Don't make excuses for people. Anyone who makes these accusations against companions, don't try and butcher what they're saying, give excuses for them. Sugar it up. She said, no one says this. No one declares deficiencies in them, declares they've fallen short in the duty. No one says this except one who is astray. Dhalun Mubilun. Trying to lead other people astray. He wants to cut off the link of this nation to the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, to cut off their link to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what they want, these people. Whoever says this, whoever makes attacks upon the companions, that's what they want. They want we in the later ages now to be cut off from the companions, that we don't have respect for them, we don't take anything from them, and then automatically that means that we're cut off from the Messenger of Allah, because the companions are the ones who conveyed from him. That's what these people want, no matter what slogans they use or what words they use or how they claim pretend to be great champions for Islam, and how many people are fooled by these people, like the Rafidah Shia for example. That's what they want. Just to repeat, go back to make clear what Sheikh al-Fawzan is saying. He said, no one says this except one who is astray, leading other people astray. He wants to cut off the link of this nation with the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore following on from that, to cut off their link with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh said, we were not present at the gatherings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we didn't hear them, and between us and him there are centuries, many centuries. So the honourable companions radiallahu anhum, they are the ones who conveyed to us from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the status of the companions in the religion is a tremendous status, and they cannot be accused of having concealed anything or having hidden anything, and of not bringing it out openly. Cannot be accused of that. Shaykh Razan said, continuing, so he's saying, فَهُوَ مُبْتَدِعٌ ضَالٌ مُضِلٌ مُحْدِثٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ. Whoever claims this and says this, there is anything from Islam that the companions did not fully convey, then he is an innovator. He is astray, leading other people astray, introducing into Islam that which is not from it. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, this is his intent. And why does he bother to go through all this? Why does he bother to attack the companions and the like? Because he has an intention, a goal, personal goal in doing so. But he wants to introduce his version of Islam. He wants to introduce things into Islam which are not from it, for his own personal reasons. The Shaykh said, this is his intent, to introduce into Islam that which is not from it. And he will not be able to do this unless he makes attacks upon the companions, and he betrays them and lies against them. Then he will be able to bring things from himself. He will knock them out of the picture, cause people to lack any trust in the companions, then he can bring his version of Islam. He said, then he will be able to bring things from himself and say, this is the religion which it is obligatory for us to proceed upon. Shaykh Razan said, this is their goal in lying against the companions and in betraying them and in belittling them, so that they can take the opportunity to establish for the people a religion from themselves and in accordance with their intellects and their opinions, and so that we should take from sheikhs of misguidance and imams of misguidance, those who change the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam by lying, by falsehood. And who falsify sheikhs, falsely bring about sheikhs and chains from themselves in contradiction to the sources of Islam. Just a side point, for example, like the extreme Sufis. Extreme Sufis are upon shirk and grave worship. So when they're refuted, they say we have a chain of narration going all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These false chains of narration that they have to defend their shirk, they say we've got a chain. You can't speak against us. We have a chain from this sheikh, from that sheikh. He took it from his sheikh, all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As the sheikh said, they falsify sheikhs and chains from themselves in contradiction to the sources of Islam. And this is something which is clear, which is present in their Torah, in what they pass on, and in their thinking. However, and all praise is for Allah, there still remains in our hands that which will block and withhold this deviation, the light of the truth and the light of the revelation, which uncovers it. It exposes the many lies which they are guilty of, and which are written in their books. That's where Shaykh Fawzan ends the explanation of this particular point. And just as an additional point, and Shaykh Salih ibn Sa'd al-Suhaymi, hafizahullah, he said in his explanation, in his taped explanation, if mentions on this important point of introducing things into the religion, the seriousness of introducing things into Islam, as these people do. He mentions some speech, and then he said, it is related, Sheikh al-Sahimi said, it is related from Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he used to say, مَنْ اِبْتَدَعَ بِدْعَةً فِي الدِّينِ يَرَى أَنَّهَا حَسَنَةً فَقَدْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ قَدْ خَانَ الرِّسَالَةِ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Imam Malik said, rahimahullah, whoever introduces an innovation into the religion thinking that it is something good, then he has claimed that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam betrayed his duty to convey the message. Because Allah the Most High says, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, the ayah, the explanation, this day have I completed your religion for you and perfected my favour upon you, and I'm pleased with Islam as your religion. And so Islam was completed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he passed it on completely. So whoever claims that there can be some new innovation in Islam, something which is good, then, as Imam Malik said, they're claiming that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam failed in his duty, he betrayed his duty, didn't carry out the duty conveying the full message, conveying the deen. Sheikh Sahimi said, refer for the references of this report to Al-Ihtisam, the book Al-Ihtisam of Al-Shatibi, and Al-Bid'ah of Ibn Wadbarah, and Sharh Usul Ittiqad Al-Sunnah Wal-Jama'ah of Al-Lalikai. Then he said, and it is related from Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, that he said, Man istahsana faqad sharra'a. That Imam Shafi'i said, whoever sanctions an action as being something good, then he has legislated, he has brought about legislation, Islamic legislation. Sheikh Sahimi said, meaning, whoever holds something to be good, or holds or declares something to be good from himself and introduces it into the religion as an innovation, introduces it into the religion, then he has set himself up as one who can legislate besides Allah. Then the Sheikh said, quotes a third quote from the Salaf, he said, and Imam Malik also said, rahmahullah, when a man came to him and said, O Abu Abdullah, where should I enter the state of Ihram from? Obviously Ihram, the state which when you enter, when you want to perform Umrah or Hajj, you need to enter the state of Ihram. So a man came to Imam Malik and said, O Abu Abdullah, where should I enter the state of Ihram from? So he replied, you enter the state of Ihram from Dhul Khalifa. Obviously Imam Malik was Imam of Medina, and the man was asking him in the city of Medina. And the Miqat for the people of Medina is a small village on the outskirts of Medina, Dhul Khalifa. So Imam, well, that's where Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the state of Ihram. So Imam Malik responded, you enter the state of Ihram from Dhul Khalifa, from the place where Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the state of Ihram. So then the man said, but I want to enter the state of Ihram from Medina itself, from the city of Medina, from the vicinity of the grave. So Imam Malik said, but I fear for you fitna, evil, tribulation. That's what I fear for you then. You want to go, you know, you want to enter Ihram from Medina itself, about three miles the other way, you want to enter it from there, I fear fitna for you. He said, the man said, and what fitna, what tribulation can there be? It's just some miles which I'm adding. So Imam Malik said, I fear for you fitna, because Allah the Most High says, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِي أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Surah An-Nur, the 24th Surah, Ayah 63, with the explanation. So let those who contradict the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beware lest a fitna, a trial befall them, tribulation befall them, or a painful punishment. Shaykh Sahimi said, so the affair is dangerous. When a person introduces innovation into the religion, innovates into the religion, it is dangerous, and introduces into it that which is not from it, the affair is at the limit of danger. Then to move on to the next point that Imam al-Bukhari brings, point number 9, and the numbering here and the translation is point number 11, but here point number 9 in this version, that the author rahimahullah said, وَأَعْلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِي السُّنَّةِ قِيَاسٌ وَلَا تُضْرَبُ لَهَا الْأَمْثَالُ وَلَا تُتَّبَعُ فِيهَا الْأَهْوَاءُ بَلْ هُوَ تَصْدِيقُ بِآثَارِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِلَا كَيْفٍ وَلَا شَرْحٍ وَلَا يُقَالُ لِمَا وَلَا كَيْفَ. And know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that there is no making analogies with regard to the Sunnah, nor reasoning with examples, and desires are not to be followed regarding it. Rather, it is just a case of affirming the narrations from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam without asking how or explaining it away, and without saying why is that or how can that be. Sheikh Fawzan said in his explanation, what is meant by the Sunnah here, in the saying of Imam al-Bukhari, that there is no qiyas, there is no analogy in the Sunnah. So what is meant by the Sunnah here, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, what is meant by the Sunnah here is the Aqidah, creed and belief. There's no making an analogy in the matter of creed and belief. Because this book is on the topic of Aqidah, and the Aqidah, the correct creed, is the Sunnah, and that, and this book is called Sharh al-Sunnah, an explanation of the Sunnah, an explanation of the correct creed. So here Imam al-Barbahari, he calls his book Sharh al-Sunnah, an explanation of the Sunnah, meaning what the book is about is Aqidah, creed and belief. So that shows, as the Shaykh al-Fawzan said, what is meant here by the word the Sunnah, there's no analogy in the Sunnah, meaning there's no analogy in the Aqidah, the creed and belief. He said, Shaykh Fawzan said, it is called Sunnah because the Sunnah is the path, the correct path. Then he said, and the Aqidah, the creed and belief, is tawqifiyya, is dependent upon text. No scope for intellect, no scope for people's opinions. Aqidah, there has to be text. So he said, the Aqidah, the creed and belief, is dependent upon being upon text. There is no scope at all for adding anything to it. It hinges upon what occurs from Allah and from His Messenger. And whatever is contrary to what came from Allah and His Messenger, then it is batil, it is false and futile, and it is dalal, it is misguidance. So this is the meaning of the saying of the scholars, that Aqidah is tawqifiyya. Aqidah depends upon text. Analogy does not enter into it. Because qiyas, analogy, can only be in issues of fiqh. They are where analogy, qiyas, can enter, matters of fiqh. And they are the rulings of what is halal, what is lawful, and what is haram, what is forbidden. As for the matters of aqidah, then there is no analogy in them. Nothing in aqidah, we say we believe this, we can based on the text, there's some other attribute here, we make analogy with that. No such thing in aqidah. No analogy in aqidah. As for the matters of aqidah, the Shaykh said, then there is no analogy in them. Rather, it is just taslim, submission, and inqiyad, compliance, to that which came from Allah and His Messenger. without any interference. Then before continuing with Sheikh Al-Fawzan's explanation, just on this point of qiyas in this matter here, again Sheikh Salih ibn Sa'd al-Suhaimi, hafizahullah, he said, here to further clarify this point about analogy in this matter, he said, what is meant by qiyas, analogy, is that which texts are rejected on account of. That is prohibited in the Sunnah. If somebody brings an analogy, there's a clear text saying something, somebody brings an analogy, saying, no, we analogize this with that, and we reject the text based on analogy. So I said, this is prohibited in the Sunnah. Indeed, it is prohibited in all of the Islamic rulings. I mean, doing this, bringing an analogy, or this ruling that somebody established in the Sunnah, somebody bringing an analogy and refuting that point that's established in the Sunnah. The Shaykh said this is forbidden, prohibited in all the rulings of the Sharia, doing this analogy in this manner. Then he said, as for the analogy which is well known with the people of Usul, people of fundamentals of fiqh, and it is, and he gives the definition of analogy, qiyas, it is joining a text of a detail, a text which we don't, well, it is joining a matter for which we do not have a text, joining it to a matter which we do have a text for, based upon a ruling in that matter, built upon a reason that is common to both of them, when there is no text to be found. Just to quickly, without making it less clear, meaning that there's a matter where there's a text, there's a matter, there's a clear text about that matter, and the reason for it being, for example, something forbidden, and the reason it's forbidden is something clear, it's forbidden because of such and such reason that's found in it. Then we have something else that we don't know the ruling for, but the reason, the same reason is found, the reason this is forbidden is found in the second matter as well, that we don't know the ruling. So the scholars, some of the scholars, they say, right, we can make an analogy. The first thing there is clearly something forbidden, and it's got this matter, this reason present there. The second matter, we don't know the ruling for it, but the reason is in that as well. So we make an analogy, say, this matter is like that matter, because it's common reason. So just as that is forbidden by text, then this second matter here is forbidden by analogy on that matter which we have a text for. So the Shaykh just gives a definition of that. He said, as for this matter here, analogy in this way, then this is a matter which is acted upon, and is something which the Salaf stated. However, it is only resorted to when there is a dire need. It's not something that happens all the time. Only resorted to when there's a dire need to do this. So it is a supplementary principle, and it is not a fundamental principle. In the fundamental principle of the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Ijma, consensus. They are fundamental principles which are agreed upon. As for qiyas, then it is a supplementary principle which is only resorted to when there's a dire need. First three, they're clear proofs whenever, but this is only when there's a dire need. The Shaykh said, it is resorted to just in the same way that dead meat is resorted to. In the case of dire need, a person can eat from dead meat. It is just like eating dead meat. When a text is not present, we've got a matter of question and we can't find a text, or the text cannot be understood, or so on and so forth, then in that case analogy can be resorted to, and it is particular to rulings of the legislation, the detailed rulings of legislation. But as for the Sunnah in general, then there is no analogy, no qiyas in the Sunnah, because it is either a text from the Book of Allah or from the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the generality of the Sunnah, first and foremost from that being the Aqidah, there's no analogy, no making analogy in that matter. So in this matter is like that, and no such thing. Rather in the details of fiqh, where there's no text to be found. That is the scope for qiyas analogy. With regard to Shaykh al-Fawzan, Allah's explanation, he continues, he said, his saying, وَلَا تُتَّبَعُوا فيها الأهواء, having already said that there is no making analogies with regard to the Sunnah, and he said, nor any reasoning with examples. Now he said, وَلَا تُتَّبَعُوا فِيهَا الْأَهْوَاءِ, and desires are not to be followed regarding it. With regard to the Sunnah, desires are not to be followed. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning, it is not to be said concerning the Aqidah, creed and belief, whatever agrees to your desires can be accepted, and whatever goes against your desires, you should reject it. Now, some people say, what do you feel about this matter here? Do you feel this is correct, this matter of belief? Do you feel it? Does it feel right to you or something, or does it feel wrong to you? And the like of that. Sheikh Fawzan said, no, this cannot be said. This is wrong. Do not say about matter of aqidah, whatever complies with your desires, then that's it, you accept it. Whatever goes against you, what you feel, what your desires, you reject it. As is the way of the people of misguidance. And therefore, they were called Ahlul Ahwa. People of misguidance, the people of innovations, are given the title by the scholars Ahlul Ahwa, literally, the people of desires. People of innovation and innovations, what they're called by the scholars is Ahlul Ahwa, the people of desires. Sheikh Fawzan said, He the Most High said, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ فَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنْ اِتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ بِغَيْرِ هُدًى مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Surah Al-Qasas, the 28th Surah, Ayah 50, with the explanation. So if they do not respond to you, addressed to the Prophet, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if those people do not respond to you, then know that they are just following their desires. And who is more astray than one who follows his desires without guidance from Allah? Sheikh Fawzan said, commenting upon this ayah, so whoever does not submit to the aqidah, the creed and belief that is established in the book and the sunnah, then he is just following his desires. And therefore, the people of innovations in aqidah, creed and belief, are called Ahlul Ahwa, the people of desires. Those that won't submit to the creed and belief found in the book and the sunnah, what they're doing, they're just following their desires. And however they, whatever they say, the excuses they make themselves, they're just following their desires. And the chef, as the chef said, that's why they're called the people of desires. People of innovations in aqidah are called the people of desires, because they are just following their desires, as occurs in the ayah, وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنْ اِتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ بِغَيْرِ هُدًى مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Same ayah with the explanation. And who is more astray than one who follows his desires without guidance from Allah? Then Sheikh Fawzan finishes this section by saying, bringing the point, he's saying, بَلْ هُوَ التَّصْدِيقُ بِآثَارِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ بِلَا كَيْفٍ وَلَا شَرْحٍ وَلَا يُقَالُ لِمَا وَلَا كَيْفٍ. Rather, it is just a case of affirming the narrations from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam without asking how and without explaining it away and without saying why is that and how can that be. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning at-taslim, submission the sayings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regard to the asma and sifat, with regard to the names and attributes of Allah and the matters of aqidah, creed and belief. It's just taslim, submitting. Bila sharh, without giving explanation, without explaining away. Sheikh Fawzan said, explain this point. This is a point where people in innovation sometimes misuse this. So we leave the attributes of Allah, we leave the what's mentioned in the text, we don't, with no explanation, we don't understand anything from it. We just affirm the word, and we don't understand it. We don't explain the word. We don't understand the word. We just leave it. So Sheikh Fawzan refutes that. He said, and they use the like of this point here. So Sheikh Fawzan said, "Bila sharh," literally without explaining. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning without giving an explanation, which is contrary to its correct meaning. Meaning without giving a false meaning, without giving a new false meaning to it. So Sheikh Fawzan said, Bila Shaf, without giving an explanation, without explaining away, said, meaning not giving an explanation which is contrary to its correct meaning. And it is an explanation which is contrary to what the text, to what the texts indicate. And this became widespread amongst the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and the Ash'aris. And that's what Al-Bahari is refuting, the false explanations and misinterpretations that they gave to the attributes. That's what he's refuting here. He's not saying that we don't give any meaning to the attributes, we don't understand any meaning from them. But he's refuting false meanings given by the like of these people, as the Shaykh said, which became widespread amongst the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and the Ash'aris. Then Shaykh Fawzan gives examples. He said, such as their claiming that what is meant by Al-Yad, by Allah's hand, is Al-Qudra, ability. And what is meant, they say, by Al-Wajh, by Allah's face, is Al-Dhat, is His self. And that what is meant by Al-Istiwa, Allah's ascending, is Al-Istila, His overcoming. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is a sharfan batil, false and futile explanation. This is not the meaning of these texts. I mean, these false interpretations, false explanations, these are not the meaning of the text. So he's saying, bila sharh, without explanation, meaning without any false explanation. As for explaining them, with the meaning of making clear, explaining their correct meaning, then this is true. This is true. And just finally, before finishing, a point then from Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimahullah, that he said in his explanation on this same point, Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah.